Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the meditation. This afternoon, I'd like to talk about meditation on the certainty of our own death. This is one of the traditional meditations called Marana Nusati, and Marana is the word for death. And sati means mindfulness of death, mindfulness of dying. And this is one of the classic meditations that people do not just once, but repeatedly when it's an appropriate kind of meditation, an appropriate subject for them. Now, it's appropriate for all of us because all of us are going to die one day. And all of us are going to have to face the dying process. But it's not meant to generate an aversion to life or to be done with a sense of negative resignation so that one becomes very depressed and miserable. And that's why it's not recommended for everyone to do. If you are practicing with a teacher, when it's appropriate, when it's helpful, then you were given the instructions on how to cultivate this practice. But it's actually very useful just to reflect on the certainty of our own death, so that when we come to sit down in meditation, we don't take for granted the opportunity we've got to sit quietly, put down the normal preoccupations of the mind and go inwards to try to cultivate a peaceful heart and to uncover the refuge that we all have within our own mind. When we contemplate the certainty of our own death, then life becomes very precious. The opportunities that we have right now become very precious. And what takes us away from appreciating this moment and its preciousness is not only the idea that we're going to live forever and we can do it tomorrow or we'll do it next time, but it's also that we spend most of our time being drawn out through the sense doors into the world. And the sense doors are the ear door, the eye door, the nose door, the tongue door, the door of touch, but also the door of the mind, which is memory and thinking. And we spend so much of our time absent from this moment and from the reality of this moment because we're caught up in pursuing pleasure through the senses. And when we come to sit in meditation, the mind continues to run out into the world, either directly through sense contact, so we get caught up in hearing, we hear a sound and then we start reacting to that sound, whether we like it or not, what we think it is, whether it should be happening now during our meditation time. We get caught up in touch contacts, how the body feels and trying to settle and make the body as comfortable as possible, and then it gets too hot so then we have to take off something, and then we get too cold and we have to put something on. And we spend so much of our time during the meditation just trying to feel all right and comfortable with the body. And we also get caught up in thoughts about the past and planning thoughts about the future, and especially lost in the emotions that are triggered when we think about things from the past or think about our plans for the future. And so again, we move away from the experience of this moment. Now, when we contemplate the certainty of our own death, first of all, we think, okay, now I've got the chance to meditate, and I may not have such good conditions ever again. I may not have the opportunity again. So let me put down the past, put down the future, just be as comfortable as possible, but not necessarily perfectly comfortable, but let's do the work of the mind. That's one aspect. The other aspect is that when we are coming to the time of our death, many of the things that we've been preoccupied with, that we've spent so much time and effort over, will cease to have any value or meaning for us. We're going to be leaving them all behind, whether we like it or not. And so that's a very helpful reflection to stop worrying about the squeaky door that we've got to mend, or the fact that someone took our parking space at work, or any of the things that we find our mind going out to in meditation. And the mind will find all sorts of things to occupy itself with when we're meditating. So if we think these things are really not important, and at the time of death I won't even care where my car is, let alone whether I've got a parking space, that can help us to let go of the thinking and come back to this moment. And again, not with aversion, but with the understanding that this moment that I have now to uncover the inner peacefulness, the inner refuge that will be there at the time of death, this is a precious opportunity. Let me not waste it. So the other aspect of experiencing the approach of death is that not only the things that we've been preoccupied with, the objects and even the people in our world, but the senses that allow us to go out and interact with those things, interact with that world out there, those senses will be shutting down as we come close to our death. And what will arise at that time is the mind which has been knowing those sense objects and those sense contacts, but which in the course of our general busy life, we never get a chance to separate from the contacts, from the interactions, the communications that are going on with those objects. We never put them down long enough. We never let them go long enough. We never turn inside far enough to access the mind itself. And this is what meditation is actually about. In many ways, it's practice for dying. It's preparation for dying. It's giving us the opportunity to get used to the idea that we're going to have to let go of all of those objects, that we're not even going to have the doorways to those objects available to us anymore, and that what we're going to be with at the time of death is the mind itself. And if we can practice letting go of the things that are preoccupying us, things from the past, the things from the future, if we can let go of the things that are coming up at the moment that are causing us discomfort or causing us annoyance or causing us ill will, this is all practice for that moment when that's going to happen to us anyway. And not only is it practice for doing it, that letting go, but it's also practice at cultivating, opening up and beautifying the mind that is going to be there, which will be our refuge at that time, at the time of death. So in the meditation, the sense doors only start to shut down when we stop playing with them, when we stop using them, when we stop going out through them, and when we give more of our energy, more of our attention, when we're able to focus for longer periods of time, longer stretches of time, on the mind itself. So in the meditation, when we gradually let go of anything else but the breath, we are narrowing the focus of our awareness down to just one object. If you were here last night, you will know that I said in the talk there that the mind has to have an object. It can't be just like a vacuum with nothing in it. So we can't just shut out all of those objects that we're used to paying attention to and expect the mind is going to be empty and stay that way. What will happen is when we shut out what we're usually preoccupied with or interested in, that something else will come up into the mind anyway. And usually it is what we spend our time habitually preoccupied with. And that may be something that's wholesome, but it also activates the mind again, gets it thinking, gets it making it busy. Or it might even be something unwholesome, which agitates the mind. So when we practice meditation, we have to give the mind a wholesome, soothing object to take up, and which we, if you like, ride into the inner regions of the mind, to the point where we're no longer using an object outside the mind, but the mind itself becomes the object. Now, if we haven't actually experienced that, it can be hard to put it into words. So, having talked around just how we need to be willing to devalue the things that we're usually occupied with, to not play with the senses so that they gradually start to shut down. These are sort of images that we can use even if we haven't directly accessed the nature of the mind itself. The idea of turning away from what is usual and what we're used to and turning inward. So how this happens in the course of an ordinary meditation is that we take time at the beginning of the meditation to settle and be as comfortable as possible. And it's always helpful to, with a loving attitude, pay attention to the sitting posture that relaxes the body, it relaxes the mind, and it brings us into the present moment. And it fills the mind with something that's actually happening right now. And because the mind is filled with that, no thoughts from the past or the future can enter the mind at that time. And then before we take up the breath, in keeping with my recommendation that we use this as a practice for the moment of dying, as a practice for getting used to the notion of death and this life ending, is to remind ourselves this is a time for meditation. This is a precious time, maybe not to be repeated. This is a time to practice what one day I will have no choice about. To value the opportunity that we have in the meditation and to feed the mind that kind of reflection so that the mind can happily give up its normal preoccupations because it values the opportunity that we have right now. And this is the way we can practice using Marana Nusati, whether we have cultivating it deliberately in our meditation, focusing on it as our particular practice. Even if we're not doing that, this is the way we can use the reflection on the certainty of our own death as a help for us to develop our meditation and uncover the inner refuge that we have, which at the time of death will be all that's left for us after this body has fallen away. So by way of introduction, that's how we'll practice today. So at the end of the meditation, if you have any questions, you can ask. Are there any questions now about anything I've said? So as I said, this is not to make us miserable and depressed, but to make us appreciate how precious this moment is, this opportunity to practice together now. So please settle into your meditation posture. And take time to relax the body. Get in touch with the feeling of the body in this moment. Can start either at the top of the head or at the place where there's contact between the buttocks and the cushion, or even at the soles of the feet. It doesn't matter where you start. As long as you work systematically from head to toe or toe to head over the whole body, tuning in and relaxing. Spending a little bit more time on those areas that are tight or tense, that are hurting. Touching them tenderly with your mind. Moving down the back and the front of the body. And if it's helpful, establishing the context in which you're sitting, especially if there's a recurring sound like the sound of the fan, And noticing whether the mind hones in on that as a problem. And if it does, remind yourself that these things aren't really important. Allow the fan to be there, the sound to be there. Whether it's too hot, it's not that important really. Allowing it to be hot, if it's hot. Gradually moving back into the boundaries of the body and narrowing the focus of your attention when you're ready to the flow of the breath. First of all, just becoming aware of the fact that you're breathing in and breathing out. Not forcing the attention onto the breath, but allowing the mind to rest on the flow of the breath and to locate the place where you know that you're breathing in or breathing out. As the mind starts to settle on the breath, this is a time when you can plant the seed in the mind that this is a precious moment. Moment to cultivate the mind which may not occur again. natural that the mind will be drawn away through thinking or hearing. And if the mind is just in its normal way drawn away, then just in the normal way bring it back to the breath. But if you find yourself obsessing about anything or the same thought pulling you away and you're starting to battle with it, or the mind getting annoyed with what's going on in the environment, that's the time when you can ask yourself the question, will this really matter to me as I'm dying? As a way of helping the mind to let go or whatever is drawing you away from the breath. Don't make it a battle, don't lecture the mind, but just a simple statement or question and then coming back to the breath. the mind spends longer stretches of time resting on the breath, being still, you may notice that a pleasant feeling arises. Just be aware of the pleasant feeling as you continue to watch the breath. Allowing that pleasant feeling to be there. Continuing to focus on the breath. Encouraging stillness in the mind. Through the stillness, the pleasant feeling gets stronger. The mind doesn't have to move off anywhere to find it. It's right in front of the mind. mind is in this pleasant feeling. Allowing the attention to remain with the breath. Still, focused. Gently allow the breath to fade into the background and bring into the foreground of your awareness the feeling in the mind itself. It may feel lighter or brighter. Might feel focused or energized, might feel peaceful, still, clear. Spacious. Happy.
Or however it feels, just be aware of the feeling in the mind. Seeing if you can expand the feeling in the mind to encompass the whole of your body, from the top of the head to the tips of the toes. If you can expand the feeling in your body to take in the whole of this room, expanding the feeling to the height of the ceiling, to the reach of the walls. And bringing the feeling back to encompass the whole of your body. Being aware of the feeling of the body from the top of the head to the tips of the toes. Gradually narrowing the focus of your awareness again to the breath at the nostrils. And see if you can receive the flow of the breath into that peaceful feeling. Observing the breath with a peaceful mind. And each time you breathe in, feeling that peaceful feeling expand within you. And as you breathe out, sending out that peaceful feeling to the world around you. And with your next breath in, adding, may I be at peace. With your next breath out, adding, may the world be at peace. May I be at peace. May the world be at peace. or simply peace on the in-breath and peace on the out-breath. As we head towards the end of the meditation, bring your mindfulness to the present moment. Allowing that peaceful feeling to remain with you. But however the meditation has been for you, at this time as we come towards its end, this is the time to generate a feeling of goodwill and appreciation towards yourself for having made the effort to come today and having made the effort in the meditation, however it has been for you. So I invite you to generate a feeling of friendship, warmth towards yourself, appreciation for your effort, a softness at the heart, rejoicing in the good that you've done. Allowing that soft, warm feeling to remain with you as we come to the end of the meditation. Does anyone have any questions? Sorry. Good. Yes. So the question from Alex is that when she sat down, she was feeling very dull and tired, but the theme of the certainty of our death livened it up and gave a bit of energy. And is that a useful thing? Yes, that's actually one of the times when it's given as a contemplation, is when people are having trouble with sleepiness or a lack of interest in the practice. Is to do the recollection of the certainty of our death, and to see that this is really a precious time, and that can generate energy, can rouse energy. So
one of Acharya Chittamala's catchphrases, "I will die, that's for sure." And when he does walking meditation, as he walks, he says that to himself, "I will die, that's for sure." So it doesn't matter exactly how you phrase it, but the certainty of my death is a certainty. We only don't know when it will happen and in what way. So, as I said, it's not to engender depression, but to for us to recognise how precious the opportunity is that we have right now, and not to give up in if we're feeling dull and tired. Sometimes we say, "Oh, I can't do it now," but to sit with it, and it's surprising to find how, if you get into this contemplation, and then you start to think, "Well, how might I die?" And then you might think, "Oh, I'd hate to die getting eaten by a shark." And then if you bring that kind of image into your mind, it's sort of way, instead of just turning away from it, you can actually use it to help you to get more interested in the practice, to wake up. "Well, that might happen." "Oh, no, it won't. I never go swimming." "Oh, well, it might happen." And who knows, whatever else might happen. So one of the contemplations that we do is to think, "What is the way I would least like to die?" And you actively bring that up into your mind and imagine that you're about to be eaten by a shark, or what it feels like, or whatever. And you feel yourself in that. Again, not to be drive you into a frightful state or whatever, but to just realise, yes, the feelings that you feel are the fear of death that we all have. And then you might start to notice in how many situations that sort of fear of being hurt, of needing to protect ourselves comes up, not just in physical situations, but, quite innocuous situations. "Oh no, I can't go there, I don't like that place." Or we cut off opportunities to do things because it just doesn't feel good for us, because it brings up fear of some kind. So it's also a way of starting to get to know some of the ways in which we seek to protect ourselves, even from not things that are going to kill us, but the things that bring fear into us. Regarding death, certainties regarding death. Let me just think. Certainties regarding death. Well, according to the Buddha's teaching, when we die in this life, it won't be the first time we've died. Whether you can take that as a certainty, that we'll be reborn somewhere else and we'll face death again. The only one who's not born again is the fully enlightened one, so death in this life is just another experience that we've had previously and that we'll have again unless we attain enlightenment. So maybe just to contemplate how we make death into the biggest experience, it becomes something that is almost unthinkable, and that's why we live our life so heedlessly sometimes. Other certainties about death, I don't know. I can't think of any at this point. Yeah. So another way of just using the meditation is to contemplate that at this moment,
in Perth itself, there will be many, many people who are dying, literally, in hospitals, hospices, in accidents, unexpectedly. And especially when we do a meditation like this, to send loving kindness, compassion to those people, may they be free of pain and suffering if they've been through a protracted illness, if they're suffering in an accident. And also sending compassion to all those who will be touched by their death. And if we can do this kind of practice also, that also makes death seem more like another reality of life rather than something that we try to avoid thinking about until we can't avoid it any longer. And it can actually help us to put our own life in a different context, a more realistic context. If we recognise that how much fear and trembling the prospect of our own death brings up to us, or the death of those we love, that we're close to, and yet at this moment there will be many, many people right in Perth itself having to face this situation. So that in turn helps us to realise how precious this opportunity is. If there are no more questions, those who'd like to stay meditating, please feel free to do so. And I'll go over to the reception area. If anyone would like to come and speak to me individually, you're also invited to do that. Thank you.